The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the Scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And welcome now to the most unusual feast day of the entire year, the feast of the dedication of the Lateran Basilica in Rome. Here's a feast day in which we celebrate not a holy person, not a holy event from the life of Christ, but we celebrate a building, a holy building, okay, but still, it's a feast day of the celebration of the dedication of a building, the Lateran Basilica in Rome, and that's a feast day that deserves a little bit of explanation. The Lateran Basilica of Rome in honor of St. John the Baptist and St. John the Evangelist is the Pope's Cathedral Church. Everybody thinks it's St. Peter's in the Vatican, but it's not. It's the Basilica of the Lateran, founded on this day. The cornerstone was laid by Pope St. Sylvester in the year 324 AD. Now you hear that, and you think to yourself, boy, that's a long time ago. And you think to yourself, yeah, it's an interesting little bit of trivia. But I'm betting anything that you also hear that and you think to yourself, why are we celebrating the feast day of the founding of the Cathedral Church in Rome? I mean, it's one thing to celebrate the feast of a saint or of a holy event from Christ's life, but I mean, let's face it, it's kind of hard to get your blood pumping about the foundation of a church. So why are we celebrating this feast day? You know what the answer is? The answer is this feast day is not so much about a church as it is about the church. This Basilica of St. John on the Lateran Hill in Rome stands, in a sense, for every church in the entire world. So this is really a feast day of the church. So that's what we really ought to talk about today, okay? Really ought to talk about the church. You might be very concerned about the state of the church in the world today. And you'd be wise to be concerned about the state of the church in the world today. But if you were very wise, you'd place the difficult circumstances in which our church is in this present time in the context of 2,000 years of troubled church history. We've been through a lot. Dozens of examples of this. You could think about the persecutions of the church in ancient Rome from all those vicious Roman emperors, in which entire families and entire parishes were summarily sentenced to death simply for professing faith in Christ. You can think about the bishops of the 4th century. The majority of the bishops of the world in the 4th century denied the divinity of Christ. And as long as we're talking about bishops, you could talk about the bishops of the 13th, 14th, and 15th centuries, who by and large didn't even live in their own diocese. They lived someplace else and just gathered the revenues from the lands. And as long as we're talking about the 13th and the 14th centuries, we could talk about a time in which three people all claimed to be pope at the same time. Now, you talk about confusing. Or you could talk about the French Revolution, in which bishops, priests, religious sisters, consecrated religious, in which monks were summarily decapitated simply for not professing their loyalty to the government. We've been through some very hard times, haven't we? Yeah, we've all managed to keep on going. We've managed to keep on going. And when you look at this church of the Lateran Basilica in Rome, it's interesting. It's a pretty darn good metaphor for the church as a whole. Maybe you've been to Rome. Maybe you've been there as a tourist. I went to see the Church of the Lateran in Rome as a tourist, and I was terribly disappointed. You know, for all the wind-up, there was very little pitch. What a cacophonous mess that church was. A clash of six different architectural styles. I felt like it was a sensory overload in marble and gilded damask. And then you learn about the history of the place. Ransacked by vandals, flattened by an earthquake, twice burned to the ground by fires, redesigned, rebuilt, renovated, abandoned for 100 years, and used as a stable for cattle. And yet it keeps on going. It keeps on going, this cacophonous mess. Not a bad image for the church, and it leads to probably the most important meditation of the day. Why does the church keep on going? Do you want to know why? Pray about this. The reason why is because the church, in spite of all of its flaws, remains the bride of Christ. And he is not going to abandon his lady. The church, no matter what it's been through, remains the bride of Christ, and he is not going to abandon his girl. When you have a hard time in the current days of the church, you know what really helps? It helps me, at least. Remember that you profess your faith not in any individual leader in this church, but your faith needs to be in Jesus Christ. Look to him. And while you're looking to him, imagine what it must have been like to be a believer on Good Friday. Or better yet, on Holy Saturday, in which all hope seemed to be lost and the leader of your faith was sealed in a stone-cold tomb. Then you'll know what it means that Christ is omnipotent. And that he's not going to abandon his church. You know what he's doing to his church? He's purifying his church. That's what he's doing. This gospel that we just read is where they drive the money changers out of the temple at the crack of a whip. It's known as the purification of the temple. So when Jesus needs to purify his temple, it can be very unsettling. He's not averse to throwing over a couple of tables in the process. And you know what it means when we say that Jesus is purifying his church? It means that he's purifying the members of his church. And that means that he's purifying you and me. If the church were as perfect as you wanted it to be, they wouldn't let you in the door. You can pray about that one too while you're at it. He is our refuge and our strength, the Psalms tell us. Our refuge and our strength. He abides with his church and he abides with his people. Let's never forget that or lose faith in our Christ our Lord and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. John the Baptist and St. John the Evangelist, pray for us.